Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Was it that Matt Damon was once again lost in space?
No, wasn't that Matt Damon?
The Martian, he'd be once again lost in space.
Yeah.
Because that was...
I mean, he was kind of...
I like The Martian.
He was kind of lost in space in Interstellar, but they was the...
Well, The Martian came out afterwards.
Yeah.
So he would be once again lost in space in The Martian.
Ba, 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 ba,
danger, danger. Ba, 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 ba.
No, it was... I really didn't... Like, I like Matthew McConaughey. He's grown on me.
McConaughey.
But it's he's got too much of that, like, Texas homespun wisdom, where it's just like... You know, it's just a singularity in space. It's just moving along. You gotta go right through it. You know, it's just like that weird, like, it's like, I can't take you seriously because you literally sound ridiculous as human being.
I like Matthew McConaughey in True Detective.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But other than that, I can definitively say I'm not a Matthew McConaughey fan.
Yeah, I mean, he's grown on me, and, you know...
Did you finally discover his vast library of rom-coms, and you're just like, you know what?
No, but
I like this guy.
But that's why I never took him seriously beforehand, because I was like, well, you know, whatever, he's just a romantic comedy guy. But then he does something like... he did True Detective that really put him on my radar, and then I watched Interstellar, but I'm just like, you know, he played a very similar part in Contact too, which is kind of funny. We were just talking about that, but they had a. It's just I don't know. There's just that something about that accent drives me absolutely crazy. Where it's like, he's always like, well, I might not be one of your big city lawyers, but from where I'm sitting,
I might not be a big city chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
But I got eggs at home. He opens up his briefcase and his chicks. Don't worry, babies.
Exactly. It's that weird, like, southern.
I mean, it's very difficult to take anyone with a southern drawl seriously as an intelligent person.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's a failing on myself as a human being, but I can't help it. It's just. I can't take it seriously.
I mean, I don't know any, like, smart Southerners.
I know they...
I don't even know of smart Southerners at all.
Well, part of the thing I really like about McConaughey... Brown. What?
Alton Brown from the South?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Alton Brown, he's a smart cat.
Yeah, he is a smart cat. But, I mean, it's just what I'm saying. It's like that... It's... I don't take homespun wisdom very seriously.
Well, there you go. Alton Brown leading the charge without a southern accent.
And that's true. He doesn't really have a southern accent.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a bit of a twang, but not really a southern accent.
I think that's the thing. Yeah. I think it's because the hillbilly stereotype is so prevalent.
Yeah.
And like the dumb yokel is so prevalent.
Yeah.
Like in American pop culture, like if someone is talking, hey, what do you think, y'all? Like that person is a loon. Like they're never a serious. Yeah, exactly. They're goofy. They're not.
Hey, Ma, get off the roof.
They're not Gyro Gear Loose. They're goofy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the.
Yeah. And that's the thing is McConaughey's accent is so thick that it's just like. It's so you can't take it seriously. And McConaughey is actually a really good actor. His choices are amazing. And Interstellar was one of those movies that it's a 3-hour movie. And my wife actually stayed awake throughout the entire thing, which is never happens anymore. Never. I don't think I've seen her stay awake through like a 2-hour movie in the last like year and a half. But she was awake through the entire thing. She was like, it's a very well done movie. Yes, it could have had about a 1/2-hour cut from it. But I was like, seriously, God. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go rescue the world.
The only Nolan movie I like on multiple viewings is Dark Knight.
Yeah, the Dark Knight still holds up for me, and I talked about that on Comic Book Logic. I really do enjoy it. Once again, though, that's another movie that could have had a 1/2-hour cut out of it. Nolan needs a stronger editor.
I like that movie. That movie never dragged anywhere for me.
Well, the problem, and we talked about that, is the third act when Joker's trying to blow up that, or I should say the fifth act, because it's a Nolan movie. Where Joker's trying to blow up the ferry, and he's like trying to make a point about that, and it's like the point has already been proven multiple times throughout the movie.
Actually, the reason that scene falls short for me is because immediately people would have blown up the convicts. Like there wouldn't have even been a thought about it. Like a bunch of yuppies on a boat would be like, "My goodness, Jeeves, push the fucking button."
But the funny thing is
yes,
that,
very good, sir. And then they could have done something where they push the button and then they're both
knowing
explodes.
The Joker, that's what would have happened.
Right.
And
like it seemed like that was supposed to happen, but it didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean that's the major issue with that is that Joker already had proven his point multiple times throughout the movie. He didn't need that final one.
I just wanted those, one of those boats to explode.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a fifth act explosion?
Yeah. I mean,
goddamn Nolan.
I guess he got me by surprise because I was expecting one of those boats to explode or both. That would have been good too. Yeah. You push the button and both boats explode.
Yeah. Who would have thought of that? No, there was
actually that'd be pretty good. Like it's like just both boats explode. See?
Yeah, but that would have proved Joker's point, which was and gone against what Batman had believed in.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Batman's wrong. Joker's right.
Batman's awful in that movie.
Batman's wrong.
Yeah, but anyway, I did want to talk about something before
Batman's Batman in that movie.
Batman. Well,
I mean, Batman. Rachel. Rachel. Swear to me. Sorry.
He's still Batman. All Batmans are valid. They're all Batman.
His Batman is
he's as valid as Adam West.
No one is more valid than Adam West. Adam West is the pinnacle of Batman because he never uses a gun, and that's the part of I really love about Adam West Batman is he never picks up a gun to use a gun. All the other Batman at some point have like guns mounted on their machines.
Aren't there machine guns on the Batmobile at some point in Adam West Batman?
I don't believe so.
I think there is.
There's smoke. I know that. Mm. And there's all sorts of like gadgets, but I don't think there's any guns.
But to be fair, I don't think there's a single gun in the entire. In the entirety of the 60s Batman and
well they do
show.
They come in with like Tommy guns and stuff, but I don't do think they ever shoot them. No. And then they dance.
Yeah, that's true. Get them, boys. Don't forget to use your nails. You're going down. Scoutmaster.
I like how all your Batman references are based upon other pop culture references of Batman. But something and this is tangentially related to this podcast. I was listening to Kevin Smith's Smodcast podcast before I was coming up here. And he was talking about his relationship with, like, this girl when he was younger, like, in high school. And it just brought back all these flooded memories. And since I no longer have a platform to really talk about this on, like, the podcast, I'm just going to use it here.
Talk about Kevin Smith?
No, not Kevin Smith. It's just the memories that I have.
Oh.
Guys, I know a lot of you. We do have a much... We skew older. We don't skew young. We skew old.
No, I don't think there's anyone below 18.
But I was just going to say, like, to those people who are maybe in high school who listen, maybe on the youngish scale.
I don't believe anyone in high school listens to this. They're all too busy watching Pee Wee Dee-Dees and Markipliers.
It's true. I was listening to it and flooded back all these awful memories of me in high school. Like how my interactions with girls in high school. Just like I was such a turd.
You interacted with girls in high school?
I had lots of girlfriends.
Shh. Bro. Should have been playing D&D in the library.
I should have been.
That's what you need to be spending your teen years on.
Well, that's like, and that's what I was thinking about, like, oh my God, I was so terrible to every girlfriend I ever had.
Yeah, obviously, you're a fucking shithead. You're 16.
I know. Like, well, that's the thing is like...
And you know what? If any teenager is listening to this, you know what they're saying right now? They're like, fuck you. Because they're teenagers. Teenagers don't give a fuck.
I'm sitting there thinking to myself like...
Step up your game.
My high school like girlfriends, like I would be like, oh, I'll take them to do things that I like. I like museums and like artsy movies and stuff like that. But it's just like, come on, man. Like, get through your head. Girls like to be treated like a girl. Don't want to treat a girl like how I want to be treated.
How very generalized of you.
I know, but I'm thinking, it's like, I can't really verbalize it, but it's like, I would take a girl and then we'd be like, oh, let's watch a movie tonight. And she'd be like, oh, great. And I'd be like, oh, look at this Bergman movie. I wouldn't actually show Bergman, but I'm like, that's like what I'm generalizing in my head. Like, oh, we should watch this. I've heard really great things about this. And I'm just like, now I look back and I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot. Don't try and treat a girl like that. They don't want that.
Maybe they do. You should probably just try and treat someone like a person rather than a gender.
No.
Well, I mean,
well, that's because
you're a chauvinistic pig. So
well,
yes, that makes sense.
Well, that's what I thought of when I was in high school. I was like, I should treat this person like I'd like to be treated. You know, like, oh, I love going to museums and blah blah blah. And it's like, no,
you can't do that if you have a lot of self-loathing though. Because
I had incredible self-loathing as a child, as a teenager.
Because then you would let that run off on other people.
Oh, and I did, and it was awful.
Just gotta ask people what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You say like, what do you want to do? It's very short.
But you know, like it's like, oh, whatever you want to do, and I'm like,
response, dump that person. like if they can't make up their mind, like it's like, oh, what do you want to do? And it's like, if you can't even answer the basic question of what do you want to do, which is like go out, go to eat, sit on the couch. Like if you can't answer that baseline question, if someone asks you what you want to do, that person is not good enough for you.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I never thought I was good enough for myself. So of course, I can't make that decision when I was 16.
It's simple. Like if you can't decide what thing to do, Mwah. If you can't decide what thing to do, that's different. Like, if you want to go out to eat and you're having trouble just determining where you want to go eat, that's a different thing than being like, what would you like to do today? And them going like,
I don't know. I don't know. Have you met my wife? Well, wait, what do you want to do?
Very, very, very briefly. Yeah.
What do you want to do tonight? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, let's go out to eat. Okay. Well, where do you want to go?
Well, see, this point is where the break happens. Like, when you're trying to, like, when you're trying to decide on... You've determined what you want to do. Where you want to do it becomes a thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a separate entity.
Yeah.
And where.
Yeah. I was just such a shithead when I was in high school. I hate, like, I look back at myself, and you know when people talk about like cringeworthy, like I just think it back. I'm like, oh, I was so bad, and I had such good, like, these girls that I dated were so much better than me. Like,
well, luckily for me, all I did in high school was smoke pot and play games.
Yay!
That's all I did.
Yeah.
I did not. I had girls I hung out with, I played games with.
Yeah. I did not. There was none of the girls that I dated were ever, like, would ever look at a D&D thing and be like, oh, that looks interesting.
And the reason I hung out with them was not because they were girls, but because they were interested in D&D and other role-playing games like Rifts and such.
I wish I knew someone like that.
And so you gotta hang out with the nerdy girls. The brainy nerdy girls are very interested in the fantasy, et cetera, and whatnot.
Yeah, but you know what I did? My first real girlfriend, I shouldn't say my first real girlfriend, like two or three real girlfriends down the line, she was like super smart and everything like that, but she was not interested in that at all.
Well, you gotta find one who's interested in fantasy fiction.
But it's easier.
The first question is, do you like Lord of the Rings? Well, yes, now it's easy.
Oh, it's so much easier now.
Well, because like we've said before, nerd culture is now pop culture. So, like, you don't get beat up for playing D&D anymore. Like, if you, like...
Now you have to find, like, a discerning nerd girl. Like, you'd have to find someone, like, you're like, so, you go to her house and you see that she's got, like, one of those, like, woolen Jane hats on her coat rack. And you just turn around and walk out.
Yeah, you're like, Jane hat, huh? And no, you have to clarify. Because she might be like, oh, yeah, that's my ex-boyfriend's roommates. You have to make sure that it's not her Jane hat.
Okay. No, I just see that as like a warning sign. Like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Danger, danger, firefly, fan alert.
Da, going back to
take my love, take my land. I don't think you understand.
Oh, man. I can't verbalize the amount of cringe I felt while listening to that episode, because just all of these like emotions just like and memories flooded back, and I was like, oh, I can't listen to this anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are shitheels in high school. Oh, like, man. that's part of the thing of being a teen. Like, do you remember when you were younger and you were like, man, why do older people always hate teenagers?
Well, yeah,
now you know, because teenagers are shitheels,
and knowing is half the battle.
They suck. Fucking 16-year-old little asses, and I'll punch them in the face. Like, I wanted to punch 16-year-olds in the face when I was 16.
Yeah.
I still want to punch 16-year-olds in the face.
Oh, man. So,
I did punch 16-year-olds in the face when I was 16, though. I can't do that now, because now I'll go to prison.
Yeah, now you'll go. Now you'll get charges against you.
Yes, now there will be charges brought.
You'd be like, come on, Judd. Come on, Your Honor. Look at the kid. He's got a punchable face.
Yeah, look at him. Look at his face. You can't tell me he doesn't literally have punch me written on it. Yeah. Fucking that reminded me. Your thoughts of being a shitheel to girls reminds me of like the fact that I was a criminal in high school.
Yeah. I was never a criminal in high school. I was a little bit.
Well,
but
think about
like,
it. Think about it like this. If you punched anyone in school, you're a criminal. That was assault.
I never punched anyone in high school. Okay. I never got into fights.
I got in a lot of fights.
There's only one time I almost got into a fight, and I didn't even know I almost got into a fight. I was having like a kind of a shitty day, and I remember just walking through the halls, and I had like my books in my hand and my book bag, and this kid just comes barreling down the halls. I was probably like younger. I was probably like a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And this senior kid was goofing around in the hallway, knocks open one of the fire doors, and it like almost hits me. And I turn to him and I go, dude, watch the fuck you're going. And I just keep going on my way. And then like, apparently like, it was like a huge deal, because he was like this star athlete and everything like that. And they're like, dude, I can't remember his name. It's like, I'll just call him Tony. Did you know that that Tony wants to beat you up? I'm like, who the fuck is Tony? And he's like, this basketball player guy. And I'm like, oh, well, he almost hit me. I was like,
if he's a basketball player, you could have taken him.
Well, I don't know. He was basketball or football or something like that. And I was just like, I have no idea who this guy is. And apparently it was like a big to-do for a day. And I was just like, okay, I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to fight a guy in high school. What are we, savages here? Come on.
You were afraid you were going to get beat up.
No, I was. I really wasn't, because I was never like one of those guys who like actively got into confrontation.
I get into fights all the time. Yeah.
You were a pugilist, is what I remember.
I was. Yeah. the most ludicrous was this dude on the bus who wouldn't shut his mouth. So I just got up on my seat and started raining blows on his face. Yeah, that was good times. Yeah. My bus was like savagery. Like almost all of the fights that I've encountered in my life were on that bus. The bus was savage.
That, dear sir, is why I don't take public transportation.
Mad Max. Yeah. Oh, no. Dude, I beat the shit out of that kid. It was awesome.
No. Luckily, I lived close enough to school that I just walked, or when I had a car. when I was 16, my dad got me like a $100 junker for like one of his barroom deals that he always had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just drove that car like literally like four blocks to school. Why? Because I had a car and I figured why not.
It took me forever to get my
license.
Gas
was 78 cents a gallon, Steve. Why not?
I don't know. I hated cars. I always hated cars. Yeah. I still hate cars.
Yeah, you don't.
I fucking can't stand cars. Yeah. My dream would be to find a job that I could walk to.
Well, we always talk, like, Pat and, you know, we always talk, me and Pat always talk, and we're like, hey, what, let's invite Steve out. And I'm like, we're never going to get Steve out of the house. Are you kidding me?
I mean, you can pick me up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to go pick him up. Are you going to go pick him up?
Yeah.
Pat's a nice guy, though.
I actually can't drive on you, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into some gaming stuff. We could talk about our In Memoriam a little later.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that's what you really want to talk about.
I mean, I didn't, it's not really, it's just like, I imagine we're going to be talking about it.
I did have, like really fun news, and I texted you about it earlier, and it's like, so in gaming, the idea of an addition change is nothing new. People have been doing addition changes since the beginning of games.
Yes.
You know, D&D's currently on its 5th edition. Warhammer 40K is on what, 7?
I think it's 8th, actually.
Is it 8th? Okay, so it's on 8th.
7 or 8.
7 or 8, whatever. But it's like, that has become so routine for us that we don't even care. So, but I don't think I've ever actually been on a 1st to 2nd edition change and it's been as fun of a roller coaster ride as it has been with Bolt Action.
Dude, the King's War 2nd edition change, all of the King's War players were like, their boners were up for it. Like, everyone wanted it.
Yeah. This has been so fun to watch these wieners just cry.
Well, yeah, because they're grognards.
They're so grognardy. So to give you a little bit of background, Bolt Action has been has been out for 4 years. Now, I talk about it on the podcast, not as much as I used to. I try to stay away because I know Steve is not a big fan of it. But
now there's actually something to say.
Yeah. Well, now that they're switching from. Okay. So Amazon put up the pre-orders for the second edition book without any announcement from Warlord itself. Now, Amazon does this quite a bit. They'll put up something when they speculate on it, I guess. I don't know.
So Amazon puts up products based on data and when you plug it in. So that means that for Amazon to put that up, that means that someone from Warlord plugged that in or shipped it to Amazon.
What I'm assuming it was because Warlord doesn't print any of its own books. All its books are printed through Osprey. And Osprey does those like great Franco-Prussian War, Uniforms of the Franco-Prussian War books.
James Franco-Prussian War.
So since Osprey prints all the books, they probably had an order from Warlord saying like, hey, we're going to be printing out this book in the fall of 2016.
Osprey probably stuck that information into Amazon. Amazon puts it up automatically.
Yeah. So there's no cover or anything like that. It's just, this is what's going to happen.
Not available.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, I don't know if people, the funny thing is that someone had to go on Amazon and it popped up somewhere that they
probably buy a lot of butt action on there.
And yeah.
They
freaked out and they put it up on, first of all, it popped up on all the Facebook groups. And then everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? And it's not even like called Bolt Action 2nd Edition. It's Bolt Action V2, version 2 is what it's called.
Okay.
So everyone starts freaking out about this. They go in the Warlord forums. And, you know, I had known about this for at least a year because I heard about it at Adepticon last year. I talked with the Warlord guys and I'm like, so you guys doing a 2nd Edition anytime soon? Because it's been a while. And yeah, and he's like, and the guy was like, yeah, it's probably going to be like fall of next year. We're going to come out with it. So it was nothing new to me. I knew that was already happening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also a miniatures game. It's probably going to have a 2nd edition.
Yeah. And so, like, people are freaking out. All of a sudden, people start like, whoa, I just bought my rule book 3 years ago. How can it not be good anymore? I mean, for those who bought it 4 years ago, I'm sure it's perfect, but... And then the speculation happens. The speculation is the best part. Well, does that mean I have to buy a new army book then? Yeah, it's a new edition. You have to buy a new army book when you get a new edition. Have you? Is this your first minis game ever? Like, and like, the thing is that people feed into this, and it's just, well, I don't know if I can't afford this $20 rule book. It's a $20 rule book. You literally spend $35 on a small 6-inch piece resin tank. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Just buy the goddamn new rule book and play with the rest of us. Oh my God. And the great thing too is the people who are who draw the comparisons to Flames of War. Oh, this is Flames of War all over again. Literally a quote from the forums. This is just like Flames of War all over again. Everyone was excited when there was a new edition coming out, but it dramatically changed the game, and now we can't play it any. And now I can't play it. I'm like, dudes, come on. It's a stupid, stupid game. Who cares?
Well, I mean, so you have there's multiple factors working here. One, yeah. It's a miniatures gamer.
Yeah,
miniatures gamers are already the most like thin skinned, made of glass subgroup of gaming.
Well, of gaming, I was gonna say, but what about start with people who really like the prequels?
The thin skinned, made of glass like group of gamers is absolutely the miniatures gamers. Like in general, like
yeah.
just miniatures gamers, because like I think it's because there's a lot of personal investment into that hobby.
Yeah. I mean, there's personal and financial investment in the hobby.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of yourself needs to go into your miniatures. Like,
yes.
Period. There's yeah. just, there's a lot of work into
it. A lot of my period goes into my miniatures.
That's that's weird on multiple levels. So you have those. So they're already like slightly fragile, and that's why you have people like exploding at tournaments and like losing their fucking minds and like flipping tables, throwing dice, that kind of shit. Like people, like men behaving like
infants,
adolescent
yeah.
children.
Yeah.
So that's just
not how it goes.
Smashes the rule book under the table. Yeah, I think that's also you know they need judges, but that's here and here and there.
Wait. Just side note, in a recent AMA on Reddit, Will Wheaton did one, and he talked about
fuck
playing.
Wheaton.
I know. And he talked about playing 40K in his dressing room by himself.
What did he play? Eldar?
No, he actually said, he goes, you got to be careful of those Eldar.
Oh.
It just made me laugh.
He didn't play Eldar.
No. Wow. Go ahead, keep going.
I figured Will Wheaton.
It made me laugh. Just Will Wheaton playing 40K by himself.
That's funny. And then you have like the historical guys. So the historical guys are like they're in their own, like being really into history puts you into like a different category than a normal person.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to make a motion on this podcast to include people who play Warhammer 40,000 into historical gamers.
If they're really, I will cede this motion if, and only if. They're very much into the background.
But that's how most 40K players are
yes,
nowadays.
If they're very yeah. into if they look at your army, they're like, well, they didn't have Razorbacks, you know, because that chapter was destroyed by. But if they're like that, absolutely. I will 100% yeah. get that. If they're super into the history of 40K, they are just fictional history war gamers.
I would say that the percentage of people who are into the history of Warhammer 40K is just slightly lower than the people who are actually into the history of a game like Bolt Action.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been completely out of the 40K yeah. loop, so I don't know. But yeah,
motion accepted.
All right. So, yeah, if you're really into the storyline and you, it's about the application of how you're into it. Like,
yeah.
if you're super like, there's people who are super into Elder Scrolls, like. Just super into it.
Yeah.
And they know like all the background. And Elder Scrolls is monstrous. There's so much lore in Elder Scrolls. If you were to try and play Elder Scrolls online with someone and they were like, well, you can't do that because the Bretons would never have, like, if they tried to do something like that, they'd be insane.
Yeah.
But that like take that same thing that happens, apply it to miniatures games. And they're going to have a bunch of people nodding their heads in agreement.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, of course you can't do that. The Germans never even had that plane. You know,
yeah.
So that's the point. Like, if you're that into it, like, and you want to apply it to the game, that's a little much. But if you want to know everything about it, like people who are super into Tolkien lore know everything.
Yeah.
That's I think that's cool.
Yeah, because I mean, like playing Bolt Action, I really learned a lot about World War II. Would I ever apply that to the game? Hell no, because then I would lose every game.
Right, it's a game.
Yeah,
like there is a game and there is a story. Like,
yeah,
the two things don't coincide.
No.
It just doesn't work because games are fundamentally going to be imbalanced. Games are always imbalanced. It's impossible to create a fully balanced game.
Yeah.
Period. Even chess, which is the most balanced game you can possibly have, is imbalanced because going first in chess is literally better. Like, there's no disadvantage to going first in chess.
Yes.
It is actually better.
What about preliminary bombardment in chess? Do we get that?
Yeah, there's no way to make chess more balanced, and it's still imbalanced. But it's the most balanced game.
Yes.
So, because games are inherently imbalanced, there's unless you are an actual historian and you make the rules to go by history, which means that every game would play out as history did. So it's like, well, the Polish never beat, I don't know,
the Germans.
So that means that everything Poland has to be worse than everything Germany has. But it also has to be the same points.
Yes.
So, like, your 10-point trooper, your 10-point German is better than the 10-point Polish dude in every way, but they're the same points. So you have to literally choose to make the army worse, and that imbalances the game, because it's no longer a game, now it's a recreation.
Yeah, and who wants to play a recreation?
I don't know. Apparently, a lot of people who play historical games.
Yeah, people get so bent out of shape when I beat them with my Italians.
Yeah, so... Mussolini.
Hey!
Do you have a little Mussolini in a tank?
No, but I generally just I always talk. I was like, hey! Whenever I roll the dice and I get
manja.
I roll the dice and I score and I go, hey!
You should get more Italianisms.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You can't talk to the father that way, you stupid Gabon.
It's like, well, I'm gonna be assaulting this, you know. Hey, hey,
yeah.
What? So why don't you stay back? What with your rifles and your boots?
Yeah, exactly.
Jack boots.
I can't believe you treat me this way. Come on, yeah. We're old friends over in Yonkers. So you have this the weirdness that is like historical.
And then I
pick
his pocket.
And then you take those two things and you combine them together into the same interest. Like, that person is spun glass.
No, I completely agree with it. And the funny thing is that I know,
because you're playing the game wrong, because
I win,
because the Italians shouldn't win. Like,
no,
and,
not at
and
all.
They did. Like, I understand that they have that that one troop available, but you've taken it 7 times. Like, you're only supposed to be able to take it once because they didn't have that many of that troop. I understand that 7 times is optimal, but that's not historically accurate.
No, well, I mean, it works a little differently because it's platoon level.
I know. I was just...
So sometimes platoons win the skirmish. Like, regardless, the Polish sometimes won small skirmishes against the Germans. But
the,
like,
troop, there was the Polish Thermopylae.
But you got to remember, I think the Italian book was written by Alessio Cavatori. So, you know, you're going to make the Italians a little better.
Alessio, take care of you. Bambino.
Bambino.
He's just rubbing a little miniature. I take care of you, Bambino.
All right, Giuseppe.
Hey. Did you see we have, like, those Swedes who are commenting on our
Yeah, that's so
post?
Weird.
It's awesome.
I have no idea.
I was like, huh, this thing says, Nyakekewa. Sweet.
Is it Swedish or is it Finnish?
I am not certain.
Yeah.
It is.
Is it more Hurtivertber or is it more Gibritivertber?
It's Nordic.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It's Nordic. They're all Vikings.
Yeah, it's in that Scandinavian area. Yeah. I don't know. There's, like, they're really weird because it's kind of like that the whole UK, England.
They make good pastry.
British Isles. You know how, like, people get upset if you refer to, like, Wales as England.
Or Scotland as Ireland.
Or Scotland as Ireland. No, not necessarily that, but, like...
I don't know.
Like, you say, like, it's in the British Isles, or you say, like, UK. Like, they get, like, really upset if you, like, confuse everything together. Like, that's the way that Norway, Sweden, and Finland, and Denmark is. Skander is really going to enjoy this part of the podcast. Because there's a difference between, like, Scandinavia, the Scandinavian Peninsula... what's the Nordic countries, like, there's, like, a whole, like, thing. Like, I know Nordic includes Iceland and something like that, but I really don't care because, like, all they've really given us is IKEA.
There's that one. No, there's that one tiny little I don't know if it's a full country or city. I don't know. It's a tiny little Icelandic place, and almost all of the world's strongmen are from there.
Reykjavik? Is it Reykjavik?
Maybe. I don't know. They're all gigantic.
Well, you have to be when you have to, like, wrestle penguins or whatever else. Puffins, like, up there.
Puffins are cute.
Yeah,
also a good cereal.
Yeah, but they gotta
not the puffin animal. animals can't be cereal.
But you got to wrestle them. That's the thing. Little do you know, you just see the pictures of them. They're actually 7 foot tall.
They're very large.
They're gigantic.
I knew it.
Pure muscle.
Just like kiwis.
Yes.
I love it. Kiwi birds, probably the coolest bird. Like, those things are the fucking silliest, goofy-looking little guys.
There's only one bird I like,
Steve.
I want to
grab and walk around
with
them.
The American bald eagle. Which are mostly found in Canada.
Hey, well, at least...
And the Canadian geese, which is mostly found in America.
At least a eagle did attack Donald Trump.
It did. Because I'm proud to be an American. Our country's fucked. But anyway, yeah.
It's not looking so good.
But back to this. So then, finally Warlord chimes in on it, and they're like, hey, look, guys, it's not actually an addition change. We're not changing any of the fundamental rules of the game. Basically, it's just a new rule book with all of the, like, 20 pages of errata that's come out. Errata and FAQs are going to be added back
into the book.
So it's
not even a second edition.
It's not even really a second edition. It's just V2, version 2. And people are like, well, why can't we have a new edition? Like, we're going to have to fix the flaws. Like, you still haven't fixed vehicle flamethrowers and light machine guns, and you have to fix this and recce, and you have to fix... And everyone, I'm just like, God, you motherfuckers, just make up your fucking... No, what? Just nuke the forum. That's what you do. Just no more forums.
Well, that's what Workshop did.
Yeah, just... And you know what? We're better off for it. Just nuke the forums. You're not allowed to have any bolt action forums ever again, because you motherfuckers can't handle the responsibility
forums
of talking like
forums
normal
are
human
so
beings.
So old, like,
well, yeah, of course.
Just like, I don't know, like I've gotten, as social media has progressed and communication's gotten easier, I have just moved away from forums because, in a lot of cases, you know, you don't know. It's not about not knowing who you're talking to, but like. If I go onto like the old Tomb Kings forum, like looking for a game, be like, hey, anyone want to play a game? It'll be like, yeah, I'd love to play, but I live in London.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that's right. Internet. Yeah. But on like Facebook, I can be in a group that's like
Chicago
area.
Yeah.
Right. And be like, well, you want to meet at this store? Yes. I know where that is. Great.
No, I don't necessarily. I like forums for more just.
They're
like,
also really fucking slow. Yeah. Like the response, like you have to wait. Yeah. I don't know. I feel that they're just. Horribly outdated.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like it more for, like, hey, look, here's pictures of my army now, like, going and looking at the pictures of the guy's army,
little, like, self-contained blags.
Yeah,
blags.
Warseer has, like, a bunch of cool ones like that, and I used to go to Warseer.
That makes sense.
Even back to before, like, when Warseer was called whatever it was before it became Warseer, before they got sued by GW and became something else.
I don't even remember.
I don't even remember, too. I was trying to think of that. It happened, like, in an oath.
Was it Astronomicon?
No, it was something that was like Warseer. It was, like... Like war something or other. Yeah. But I like that. And I like, you know, sometimes there's like some good discussion going on there. But most of the times it's just nonsense. It's pure and utter nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is like, I don't really care what people have to say about game. I just want to play it.
You know what the worst part about gaming forums are? Is the people who, they become the Uber commenter. Like, they're the guy who has to comment on everything.
Oh, yes.
So, I know the Warlord forum.
Actually, humorously enough, there was a guy on the Tomb Kings of Cymru forum who was that guy, and his, I can't remember his name, but his icon, Puffin.
A Puffin. Well, there you go.
His icon was a Puffin.
Well, I mean, and there's people I know who play Bolt Action, and they talk about these people like, well, this guy says this, and I'm like, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He just comments on everything, so you think he knows what he's talking about. And it just it boggles my mind.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I don't get like people who like my rule of thumb is if someone's giving advice for free, it's probably worth what you paid.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right.
With any sort of game. So like, you know, if someone's like, well, you should use this instead of this. And it's like, even if they're right, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Because most cases, like if you're super competitive, like if you're a super competitive person, you won't give people good advice.
Oh, no, absolutely. Because I give everyone wrong advice.
You just
so
want
that,
to win.
Yeah, like, so that I can win all
like,
my games.
Yeah, you should move there. Like, that's where you should go. Like, unless I'm already, like, the only time I'll give someone advice that actually works is if they're beating the shit out of me and I have no chance of winning, I'll just help them win faster. I'll be
so
like,
that you could finish the shit show. And,
yeah, I'll be like, go here. Yeah. Like, don't, what are you doing? Like, stop. Like, don't do that. Yeah. Like, get out of here. Go there. You'll win. Like, if you move this fucking model right here, you win now. Like, the fuck is wrong with you?
but
just berating them for winning.
I don't want to go.
You're winning because you're fucking lucky.
This won't go on much longer, but I do have to say that there another wrinkle was added to the whole debate afterwards.
Oh,
I'm laughing. I'm like, at this point, I'm just like giggling as I'm looking at it. So Warlord officially chimes in, and as I was saying, they're like, it's just going to be this, it's just going to be this, and we're also going to do a new edition of the German rule book, the German army book, and people lost their goddamn minds, Steve. They're like, I got to buy another German book? Oh my God. Codex Creep! Codex Creep! Like, it's just like, I'm like, this is too funny. Like, if the game gets broke, don't play it. You don't have to. There's like 1,000 World War II rule sets out there for 28 mil. Just play one of those.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that these people got so upset. And like, people are like, no, it's going to be good because they're going to fix this and this. And this. No, it's going to be bad because they're going to make the Germans better than everyone. And then it's like, who the fuck cares? Play a German army then.
Even when I was super deep into every minis game, my rule of thumb was always, why don't you wait to see what the new edition is? Because a lot of times, if the people doing the rules really care, like, they just get better. Like, Dark Age is a perfect example. Every edition of Dark Age has gotten so much better than the previous.
Dark Age got thrown into this conversation, too, but finish your thought.
Okay. Every previous version of Dark Age, like, the newer version is leaps and bounds better than the previous one. Just, it is. Just, like, the cards are better, the art's better, the models are better. Like, every iteration of Dark Age is improving every step of the way.
Yeah, Dark Age models are really nice right now.
Now, I heard Malifaux second edition blows.
And it's really funny because I just went to Half Price Books before I came here, and someone had dumped off a shit ton of Malifaux books.
Yeah, well, I heard that that's what the second edition of Malifaux was fucking miserable. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I obviously don't know, and I have no comparison to it because I never played first edition
not
Malifaux.
Not enough top hats.
It looked really bad. And I was like, ugh. I did like the card system.
Yeah, the card system was
rolling,
cool. Yeah.
For rolling your dice instead of using actual dice, but... perfect example of war, I've said it before. I think I said it on the last cast. War Machine needs a new edition, like, desperately.
Yeah. But the Dark Age got thrown into this because someone had started the whole, like, well, Warlord should take in our old books for a discount when we're getting the new books, just like Dark Age did. And people are like, dude, the rule book costs like $35. It's not that big of an issue.
Yeah. And Dark Age gives the rules away for free. Like, all you need, if you buy, like, if you're at a con, Dark Age will give you a shit ton of stuff for free. But like, on their website, you can usually, if you buy like $50 in Dark Age models, they'll just send you a rule book.
Yeah. But it's just, it's so like mind-boggling. Like, guys, just sit back, enjoy the fact that you're going to get a rules update, and just coast on it. You don't have to get upset. Like, this doesn't have to change your life. But I think that's just like a few people getting just on the boards and getting like really pissed off, and like they could vent that way. Because most people that, like, you talk to about a new edition, like, hey, you know, they're coming out with a new edition for this, and they're like, oh, really? That sounds great. You know, most people get really supportive about it, but just,
or just at least excited.
But the online thing is just, it's too fun to watch.
Because even Workshop, when they came up with new editions, like, you know what? Let's, perfect example. Age of Sigmar.
But me and you were both excited about it.
Exactly. I was excited. I was like, hey, you know, because it sounded like a game I'd want to play. It sounded like Workshop was making a game I wanted to play. Because if you give me the short pitch about Age of Sigmar, I'm like, that sounds appealing. And then when you actually get it, you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
But new edition, I was excited about it. I hadn't played Warhammer seriously for two editions. I was excited. I was like, maybe Workshop will get some more of my money. And obviously that is not how it turned out. But still, being automatically pessimistic about a new edition is the dumbest thing you can do. Like,
yeah,
you should just wait. If you, because you know what, if it's bad, you're gonna get all the time in the world to shit on it.
Yeah.
Like, just save your shit. Save it when it's confirmed bad, then spray the diarrhea.
Well, that goes against your Star Wars principle, though.
Well, Star Wars is a different thing. That's a different animal. You don't understand, my hatred of Star Wars was like,
oh no,
incredible.
I understand.
Incredible.
You know me. I was the exact same way when the prequels came.
I mean, I'm not back into Star Wars. Like, that movie was fine. I watched it once. Am I going to buy it? Hell no.
Yeah. No, I actually saw it a fourth time, by the way.
God damn it.
And I actually paid for this one. I went and saw it on IMAX because I really wanted to see it on IMAX. And it was decent. I really liked the IMAX print. It was good. But no, I'm done with it now.
What is it with Star Wars? People going to see the movies a bunch of times in theater. I don't fucking get it.
Well, like when your friends call you up and they're like, hey, I want to go see it on IMAX. And I'm like, okay, I'll go see it on IMAX. I don't care.
I see. I guess, well, that's just me. I'd be like, saw it already. See ya.
Well, I had nothing else to do. Why not?
I always have something to do.
Yeah. There's
always questing in the Elder Scrolls or Fallout 4 or something that isn't painting my models.
For me, it's the only other thing I'd like to see it in, and this is like a completely nonsense thing to do, is I'd like to go see it at the Tivoli.
Underwater. In a swimming pool?
No,
in a scuba gear?
In a bongo, like in episode one. No, I'd like to go see it at like an old-timey theater, like the Tivoli or something like that. Might be nice, but probably not going to do that.
But again, I wanted the new Star Wars more to be bad because
exactly, because you wanted to have all the time in the world to shit on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the dream, but
the Steve story.
That's okay. There's two more chances.
There are. You do have some chances.
There's balls that can be dropped.
Yeah,
and I'll be watching.
Especially when they announce that Darth Snoke is, or whatever, Grandmaster
Darth Snooki
is Grandmaster Snoke is Jar Jar Binks. You're gonna be like, yes, yes. You're just gonna come onto the podcast and you're just gonna pick up your microphone and drop it and then leave.
With new games, just wait. You know, edition changes are generally for the better, because the reason you change editions is because the game is stagnated.
Yeah.
The same things are winning, or things are broken, or too much stuff is unusable. You know, like an entire class of things are broken. And as in the case of Kings of War, Kings of War first edition was broken by war machines. Yeah. Second edition appears to have been broken by flyers. So. We'll see if that.
But that's
true.
You know, I don't know. There's no easy way to fix it, and it's been something that gamers have been trying to find for years is an easy way to fix broken issues.
Well, the more balanced you make your game on the outset, the more boring it will be.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it is.
Then you get D&D 4th edition, which is how is your character going to do 20 damage?
Yes,
it's like I use magic spells. Cool. I use a broadsword. Okay. I use bow and arrow. Okay. All of you do 20 damage.
So
it's like, do I do anything else? No.
No. And moving on.
It's like, oh, each of you can stun. All of us can? Yes.
But speaking of D&D, I did stop. I mentioned I stopped at the Half Price Books, and they had some old D&D stuff.
Yeah,
I kind of wanted to show you. I got this, which is kind of cool.
Ooh, a City of Adventure for Lankmar. Advanced Dungeons
and
Dragons 2nd Edition.
And I also got the box set, which I've never seen in the wild before.
Cool.
And I'm gonna open it up, and we're just gonna take a look real quick. Yeah,
Fafrod and the Grey Mauser faced each other across the two senseless thieves, poised for attack, yet neither moved. Each discerned something inexplicably familiar in the other. You met in Lankmar. Everyone loves the Grey Mauser.
No one really knows who the Grey Mauser is.
He's the best thief ever.
Yeah,
I don't know who the Grey Mauser is.
People don't know about it. I mean, like
Fafrod is Conan the Barbarian. The Grey Mauser is an amazing thief.
Yeah.
So,
oh, these are nice.
I think it's Fafrod. I don't know. That's how I always said it. Yeah, they're a class. They have a bunch of novels.
Yeah, but people don't know about them anymore.
But they're awesome.
See, remember when shit used to come with like cool ass maps like this?
Some stuff still comes with cool ass maps.
Like, look at that. Look at that. This is a double sided.
This has
one.
The behemoth as a foe. The behemoth is a orca with legs.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, it's an orca with legs. Man, it's Thaco is 5. That is that's fucking strong.
That's a strong Thaco.
Yes, remember kids, the lower the Thaco, the more dangerous the foe.
Ooh, would you like a Dragonlance time?
It is an armor class of 4. A Dragonlance timeline. I was never super into Dragonlance.
You hate Dragonlance.
Yeah, it's just like
Dragonlance was I hate to get back to like the whole gender thing that we were talking about earlier, but Dragonlance was always a little girly for me.
I do like the
setting. I think it's kind of cool.
I don't like the infinite dragons. Like, there are some good characters in Dragonlance. Like,
that's the name of my metal band, by the way. The Infinite Dragons.
The Infinite Dragons. Like, what's his name? Raistlin? Like, Raistlin's fucking sweet. Like, cool, very cool character. And he's a very D&D character because, you know, Raistlin was based off of an actual D&D campaign.
Yeah.
And his character had terrible con. Like, terrible. So that's why he's constantly sick. His int was insane, but his con was miserable. So that's why he's constantly sick and, like, you know, has shitty fortitude saves and stuff, because that's what his character was rolled up. So, like, and that's what makes characters interesting. Like, it's more interesting to have a character who's really good at something, very shitty at many things. Everything's more interesting than the character who's the best at everything. That guy is the most boring, blah, blasé, which is why Raistlin is a more interesting character than Elminster.
Yeah.
Because Elminster is Tom Bombadil. He's just like,
hi, diddle-yo.
Done. He sings a song. It's done. Wins the day.
This also.
Now, I love Tolkien, but Tom Bombadil can go fuck himself.
This is funny too, because this Dragonlance thing talks about the saga rules system, which were miserable. I never really played them that much. I looked into it and I was just like, ugh, blah.
There was a, back in the 90s, there was a role-playing system that used a deck of cards, which was interesting. It was a,
but this, this box is in perfect condition.
You basically said what you wanted to do and you flipped up the card and the card told you if you succeeded or failed. It was, very interesting.
That sounds like a fun,
It was supposed to be for, I think it was a tie-in with a Marvel RPG. So it was supposed to be very, like, punchy comic. And, like, you could, if your character had certain skills, you could negate, like, penalties. So, like, the cards, like, action failed unless you have, like, super strength. So then you'd be like, I do have super strength. And it's just like, okay, then you succeed.
Fun. That sounds cool. Remember how last time you were talking about
it was like it was supposed to be role-playing for babbies because like there's no dice or systems mechanics. It's just like your characters have words. You flip up a card. If character have word, succeed. If not, fail.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, it looked like it was a good like intro to role-playing.
Yeah, the you remember how last time you were talking about your special rules idea you had for the mech game? You were talking about your like ideal mech scenario game thing for printing. Actually, Osprey Books is putting out one of their like generic rule sets for a mech game. So I'm interested in seeing how that looks like.
Interesting.
Because it's I don't know who's putting it out. Because a lot of times, Osprey, the Osprey Wargaming print has put out like a bunch of like just like a shotgun approach to like mini game. Most of it's skirmish based, but they'll do stuff like pirates.
Skirmish is hot right now. A lot of people, I think a lot of mini gamers have moved into the territory of I would rather have five different games worth of skirmish armies than half of a big GW army.
Well, half more like a tenth of a GW army.
Yeah, I guess
speaking of which,
depending.
Yeah, how much is that the five band box of Slayers going for?
I didn't see.
Oh, it's like $60
for five.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember when everyone thought it was going to be $60 for 10?
Well, they're doing a $60. I think they're doing a $60 10 man box too.
Oh man.
But like the super special 5 man box are going for.
Nobody's buying this stuff anyway, so fucking who cares?
Yeah. But the
also those models suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're awful.
They don't look like Slayers at all.
They look terrible. They just look bad. Like I was like, because I saw the small picture and I was like, eh. And then like I saw the zoomed in stuff and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. But the what was I gonna say? The Osprey Books have done like a shotgun approach. So it's like you get a pirate game. You could do like they have a pulp, games. They have like 70s kung fu games, which are kind of cool.
Nice.
You know, a lot of what 7TV is doing over on the and over the channel, across the pond. But the they're doing that. So they're doing a. I know they did a Future War one, which I haven't actually looked at yet. And now they're doing like a mech one. But sometimes they're put out by like certain publishers, like North Star Miniatures. They did a lot of like the Kung Fu one. They did the Victorian steampunk one. They did the gods, like the ancient Greek versus Roman gods one. Kind of cool, but they're mostly just designed to sell the miniatures. I don't know who's actually putting out this one or if it's just like a group of fans who decided to put out a game and they put it out that way. Usually those are a little worse because they're not very well balanced and they're very like you could tell that the guys who wrote it were like, this is the best thing ever. And, you know, kind of like what you were saying where they don't look at what's, you know, they don't tend to see that. Well, this is optimal. This is what I'm going to play.
Right. Like everyone's just going to do this.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a generic version of BattleTech or what's the other one? Robotech, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they just follow the adage of like make something very good at its thing, very bad at anything else. You can't make an all-rounder because that's one of the reasons
Heavy
Space
gear.
Marines are so fucking prevalent in 40K is because like Space Marines, what are they bad at? Nothing. What are they best at? Kind of nothing, but they're bad at nothing. Like. Yeah. They're strength 4, toughness 4. Like they have the best best average strength and best average toughness of troopers.
But Steve, Marnius Coolgar.
Marnius Cool Guy.
Marnius Cool Guy.
In his fucking ultramarine thong.
I have boulders on my fists. I have fist boulders.
Marnius.
Did you see the thing?
Oh, Rogel Dorn.
There was some the Mary Sue. I don't know if you ever go to that website. You probably don't.
I don't really go to a lot of websites. I read web comics.
Well, my work has blocked Imgur, so I can't really do a lot of the stuff
I
used to do.
Blown out.
I know, but the because a lot of the sites link through Imgur, so I can't really do much on the internet now. But I started going back to a lot of old blogs I used to go to, like like Nidorama. And
I'm sure I've seen a bunch of these on social media links.
But anyway, so the Mary Sue did an article about why aren't there more girls in 40K? I was like reading it. I'm like, this is obviously written by some, like, because boys just accept it because you got into to 40K when you were like 13 and you thought girls were icky. You know, and it's so like hyper masculine that it's like,
yeah, have you seen what a space marine looks like?
Yeah. And you're just like, it's so stupid, but like you can't take it seriously because like it's all about hyper masculinity. And, you know,
I mean, there's girls in the Sisters of Battle who look like dudes.
Yeah.
But they are girls. And then there's the girls in the Eldar armies. That's it. Oh, but, Tau. There's the one female Tau.
But the great thing is that there's, I don't even think that female Tau is GW. I think that female Tau is like,
no, she's official. A canon. Okay. That she's in the smaller stealth suit.
Okay.
She's a canon character.
Does
she's
she
a canon
have
special
boobs?
Character. She's, I would
Speaking
imagine
of feminism.
I would imagine probably, but she's in a giant stealth suit. So you
Aren't
can't
tell mammalian.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're fish people.
Oh, fish people.
But some 40K Grognard who's really into the history of 40K will be able to let me know.
Well, yeah, they'll let us know. But no, they got really upset about it.
They're actually descendants of insects, so they're they're closely related to a praying mantis more than a fish. Idiot.
But the yeah, they got really upset about it. But the great thing is always is just going to the comments. Because I was like, fuck this article. I want to read what people have to say. Because that's going to be the interesting part.
The comment section of everywhere is the same. Was the first thing about politics? Because that's usually what I see. It's
well, like, of course there's no girls in 40K because Obama doesn't want us to have girls.
Yeah.
No, actually, it would be more, yeah.
It's,
Obama would have us put girls in 40K.
No, usually that's a little on point. Because usually I'll read something like, you know, a recipe for a pie. And I'm like, oh, that looks like a pretty good pie. And the first comment will be like Obama's literally Hitler. I'm like, I see. This has a lot to do with pie. Yeah, your comment had a little too much to do with the article. It would just be like, Obama's stealing our guns.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it was like, it was really funny because on one hand you have these, you have the people who are fans of the Mary Sue, which is a very feminist slant blog, who are always like, yeah, 40K should have more girls. You know, I played 40K. A girl would comment like, I played 40K and I always wanted to play Sisters of Battle, but they were too expensive to play. But the girl who always played them, you know, whatever. And it'll be a guy like, no, you can't have girl space marines. It's written into the lore that you can't have girl space marines.
I mean, I always thought the Sisters of Battle were girl space marines. Like, wasn't that the whole thing?
Was that the whole point? Yeah, exactly.
Like, isn't that literally the point? They're in power armor. They're toughness 4. Like, they are... Yeah. They're space marines.
But you can't have girl space marines because the Primarch used his genetic makeup to make these people to be clones and stuff. And I'm just
dildos.
Like, holy fuck, it's literally a
Well, I mean,
game.
Imagine there's a lot of men's rights activists in the 40K.
Yeah,
red I pillars. Imagine there's a lot.
What are those? Is that the red pill? The
yes,
men's, yeah.
I believe so.
Red pillars.
They're probably very into 40K.
And they're going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, of course there can't be
and
girls.
And their trilbies are spinning on their head.
Well, no, they wouldn't have trilbies because wouldn't the trilbies be the ones who would be like, m'lady?
Oh, see, that's the thing. The trilby guy, there's a dichotomy with the trilby wearer.
Oh, there's a split. I had no idea, Steve.
Yes. There's even in the solitary trilby wearer, there can be that split.
Oh, wow.
And on the one hand, they believe m'lady because men's rights activists are super into treating
like
chivalry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
super into chivalry because women are inferior and they need you to do everything for them.
Yeah.
So, they're super into that aspect.
Yeah.
But then they're also super into the men's rights aspect because while on the one hand, you need to treat women with respect because you're a nice guy, you're not like the other guys. On the other hand, they're soulless bitches who are going to steal everything from your life. So there is that, like, they're the same. They're one in the same.
I'm learning something new here,
yeah.
Steve.
And then there are some trilby wearers that fall completely onto one side of that. Like, they're either all in on the white knighting.
Yeah.
Or they're all in on
the
men's
red
rights.
on the red mm-hmm. pill. Okay, yeah. That makes sense to me. Even though I just don't care either way. But.
Well, it's just something to know because a lot of the like being super nice to women because you're a super nice guy and like women should fuck you because you're a super nice guy. Like that comes a lot from the men's rights thing. Like you know, because like I said, again, women are inferior and they need you to do things for them, like open doors and things like that.
See, I just come to the fact that
you know who I open doors for. Fucking people, because it's nice.
Yeah, you just do nice things.
Yeah, you open the door they walk by and you go, they sometimes say thank you, sometimes they don't. You fucking close the door. Oh, you should open the door for people. It's nice. Be nice.
Yeah,
you could just be nice.
Or you could be like me, who was 16 and didn't know what the fuck to do, and you just you're just complete and utter idiot.
The basic level of just like be nice. That's,
you know,
that's
what?
All you
I'm
need.
I'm so glad, Steve. I'm so glad that the internet like was not what it is now when I was 16. I can't say that I didn't have the internet, because the internet existed.
If the internet was it was now when I was 16, I would have never gotten into D&D because I would have been too busy jacking off.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like,
all the time.
I mean, I thought I jacked off a lot when I was in high school.
Exactly.
But now that I think about like the amount of unlimited porn that I didn't have access to, like, do you remember 56K porn?
Oh, yeah.
Just like,
oh, yeah.
The picture like slowly coming down. You're like, here comes the boobs.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
But that's back when you can masturbate to one picture.
Right. Well, you know, you had to. Because if you went to the next one, it was going to be a couple hours.
It was, oh my God.
So, yeah, no, I would have probably had a very big right arm.
See, the difference.
Maybe a left arm too, because sometimes I like to switch it.
You like switch it. No, see, the interesting thing is that, not interesting, but for me, that I never had internet when I was at home until I never got internet till I went to college. And college was the first time I ever really encountered the internet. I played with the internet at school or something like that, and I really didn't have too much of that 56K porn stuff. But when I got to college was the first time I ever had cable internet.
Mm.
And so I was like immediately like going up to the AAA. You
bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Exactly. God, I was such a fucking moron when I was a kid. I'm still a moron for a lot of things, but it's like, I feel like I have a better handle on a lot of I've been happily married for 10 years. So it's like, you know, I think I got this down a little bit, you know. But like back being 16, I'm just like, oh, it's just not right. 20 years ago, looking back at 20 years.
Come on. No one.
I know.
No one is in a healthy high school relationship because that's not a thing.
No, it's not.
It doesn't like they should be in. They should try if they want to. But,
which I did. But
there's not going to be like that situation is not going to end well. And then sometimes there's teen pregnant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it was
at least you didn't have teen pregnant.
I did not have teen pregnant. But that's the interesting thing is like you're like, you know, that like a lot of people like you're like, oh, I don't know why that relationship didn't work out, you know, or we just grew older. And does it? No, my relationship didn't work out because I was a fucking moron. That's the reason.
For me, like most of the, like I was super passive. So I always had the stance of like, well, if a girl likes me, she'll talk to me like about it. So
no, but that's a smart thing. Me. I had no fucking clue how to talk to a girl because I went to Catholic school for fucking 12 years.
Wow, well, no wonder.
13 years, yeah.
That explains everything.
No, you are absolutely right. I had no idea. I went to Catholic school for 13 years. And so, like, when I actually got into, like, a public high school, I was like, good day, fellow students.
Where are your uniforms?
No, I was so completely out of my element. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I always figured if a girl really liked me, she'd talk to me about it. So I just did not actually actively pursue that because
I think most boys are like that. Most young teenagers are like,
no way, dude. There were so many guys who were just, dude, I'm gonna fuck that girl. And then like they would try and to talk to her and get shot down. They'd be like, I'm not gonna fuck that girl. I'm gonna fuck this other girl. And then like they would just go like shotgun approach. Eventually they would find a girl to fuck and then bam, teen pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, not
there
that
were
that's,
a lot of teen pregnant.
Not that that's a like
in my high school there was a lot
of
teen pregnant.
They had the right idea in that like, oh, I'm just gonna go talk to that girl, and if she shuts me down, I'm gonna go talk to this girl.
That is
like,
the right idea.
That is the right idea. I mean, like maybe not the I'm gonna go fuck this girl idea, but I mean, like,
he's a little ahead of the. He's putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got a little bit of time left. Do you want to talk in memoriam?
Man, there was this was like a four-peat, a quad shot of cancer.
Who's the fourth?
Voice of Robin Hood from the cartoon.
I just heard about that one today.
He was pretty old.
Yeah, he was like in his like 80s. Yeah.
So, I mean, not that it doesn't suck, but like, dude is pretty old.
I have no idea who he even is, like his name.
He's done, you know what, voice actors, very few, like Mel Blanc, Billy West, but Dan Castellaneta, Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
Those are the
voice actors. Tom Kenny, you know.
Yeah. There's a few you know the names of because they're so prolific or so well known.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys like you don't know and like you've heard their voice a million times. You know, like who currently does the voice of Mickey Mouse?
Oh, I know his name too, and I can't think of it right now. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Who currently does the voice of Donald Duck? You don't know, but you know Donald Duck's voice. You know Mickey Mouse's voice. Like, so all the voice actors are somewhat forgettable. So I'm sure the voice of Robin Hood was a lot of characters. Like he probably did a bunch of work for Disney. Yeah. Then you had Grizzly Adams.
I still blame Disney's Robin Hood Kevin from Comic Book Logic turned me on to this theory that Robin Hood was the reason why for the prolific amount of furries in the world, because kids who grew up watching that Robin Hood
age group's too different. It's something, but anthropomorphic animals have been in everything.
I know, but
they've always been everything. They're in D&D.
But that was the first sexy, like, fox.
Bullshit. Fucking D&D, the fucking Catwoman. As a young lad, I've definitely relieved myself to the Catwoman in D&D.
I can honestly say I've never done that, but can I say, cat people, I'm another... I can't do a
Mr. Tumnus?
I can't do Bowie because my Bowie always ends up sounding like Tim Curry. because my voice is too low to do Bowie.
I don't know enough Bowie to do a Bowie. I'm not a big Bowie guy.
No. See, that's the difference is that I thought you'd be more Bowie Ector-y guy.
I love Bowie in movies. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I'm a more music Bowie fan. See, like, I like him in Labyrinth. He's a fun cast in Labyrinth. But I look at Labyrinth as kind of like it's a Jim Henson thing.
It's only forever.
Yeah, it's like I look at it more like it's like a long episode of the Muppet Show.
It's
as
so good.
Opposed to
the Labyrinth.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I think the Labyrinth is a fantastic.
Hogwarts.
It's
Hoggle.
It's Hoggle. No.
Muda. Sad. So then Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. Well,
and then of course,
like, when did you ever fucking watch Grizzly Adams?
I never watched Grizzly Adams. It was out of my, that's out of my age
group.
You
know him from like GIFs,
right?
Is what you know
out of my age group. But he is in amazing GIFs, and he's in a show about a mountain man with a bear. I love mountain men. I love bears. That's appealing.
You do love mountain men, and you do love bears. Yeah. Whether or not it's the animal bear, I don't know, but I know you love bears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's all good. But the quick thing about animal people. Sexy animal people have always been in fiction, period. Like I said, in D&D, there's like the sexy lady who turns into a cat lady.
Yeah.
Or is a cat person. Always been
a thing.
But
the thing that I'm going to put on there is just that. It was designed for young people. So young people grew up watching Sexy Fox. And now, like, me growing up, I was not like, oh, that's a sexy fox lady. But, you know, now that I'm older, I'm like, wow, that is really like.
But she is super mild. There's been things like.
But has
before the furry explosion, there's been other things where, like, there's been very sexy animal ladies.
Was there a sign? I'm not going to say there wasn't.
Like, The Lion King has a fucking sex scene.
Yeah, well,
like,
I know that.
There's a sex scene in that movie.
But that's 90s. But I'm going to say before.
Yeah,
before the 60s Robin Hood cartoon. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Is there a sexy anthropomorphic animal that was put into any sort of television?
I'm going to say probably.
That's what I'm going to point to, that Robin Hood is probably the first one.
Because there's older cartoons that are like that, too. Like, I mean, there's always Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, but Bugs Bunny was only sexy when he put on a dress.
Well, yeah. But
that
but
leads to a lot more different issues.
But,
yeah.
But to be, that's still a sexy, bunny character.
I won't argue with you.
And Elmer Fudd is into it.
Yeah. So. Well, Elmer Fudd's into a lot of things. Elmer Fudd's got, you know, hydroencephalitis, so I don't know how much I would count on that.
I'm a very unique person. I have acquired tastes.
Now put this noose around my neck while I jerk off.
Yeah. So
I can't do Elmer Fudd either.
I don't think there's a single thing. I think it's just the fact that, I don't know. Yeah. I got nothing.
But anyway, so we covered Grizzly Adams.
Bowie. Yes.
And
sucks.
I can't even say that I'm like a huge, like, I love Bowie's music all the way up until 1980 when he did Let's Dance. And after Let's Dance, I'm like, I don't like any of his Tin Machine stuff. I don't like any of his Thin White Duke stuff. I shouldn't say that, but I don't like any of his like 90s stuff.
He was good with Trent Reznor. I'm Afraid of Americans. I like that song.
That actually was a decent song. But that album itself is not really that great.
There's a ridiculous amount of
I'm Afraid of Americans.
I'm Afraid of the World.
That's a great song. It's a really great song.
But you know what I didn't know? I watched a thing of how many people sampled or used like David Bowie influence. He's fucking everywhere. Like, there's a song from Downward Spiral, which is an old Nine Inch Nails album, called A Warm Place, and I fucking love it. And it's like, I listen to it all the time. Like, that was like, that was one of the it's Downward Spiral.
No, it's not.
No? Oh, well, oh, maybe it's on the Fragile.
Well, I'm not a Nine Inch Nails fan.
I don't know.
So I
do like Nine Inch Nails, but I was surprised I remembered the name of an album.
Yeah.
The That song, A Warm Place, it's just instrumental, and it's very relaxing, and, like, I listened to it when I was, like, when I would be very stressed, I would listen to it and just, like, fucking try and relax.
Yeah.
It's actually a song from 1980 by David Bowie, Crystal Japan.
Oh, I know that song. Yep. Yeah.
It's just, it is Crystal Japan, but it is mixed differently and slowed down.
Yeah.
It was fucking wild. And there's a bunch of stuff that he does. Yeah. Like, wow. Like the synth line, of course, everyone knows Vanilla Ice. Yeah. Dun, 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 no, dun, see, it's different. I mean, yeah, we sampled it, but their song goes like dun 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 dun, and my song goes dun 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 chicka cha cha. Pressure coming down on me. Yeah. So
that's one of the greatest songs ever written.
Super good.
Yeah, it's
fucking Freddie Mercury, David Bowie. Like,
it's just like. That song, not only
that's two of the arguable largest music icons, like, together in one song.
And it's got one of the greatest, like, through lines, like, rhythmic through lines throughout the entire thing. And it's got some of the greatest singing ever put, and it's mixed perfectly. It's done great. Yeah, I wish I knew more about it.
Great song.
Yeah. But as I say, I don't like a lot of his later stuff. A lot of his later stuff is just not my jam.
He got into, like, experimental different stuff, but that's fine. That's always been David Bowie's thing, though. He's always been, like, this album's gonna sound nothing like this one.
But his latest one, Black Star, which I just listened to, and it's really funny because Kevin from Comic Book Logic texted me and he's like, "Hey, have you heard Black Star yet?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I just listened to it like yesterday. It's fine. There's a couple good songs off of it. They're not like, but it's nothing that I would be like, I have to own this Bowie album and listen to it nonstop, like I do with a lot of other Bowie albums that, like, I listen to Diamond Dogs or I listen to Hunky Dory or Space Oddity. I listen to those any day of the week. I have no problems with that. And literally the next day he dies, and I'm like,
you killed David Bowie.
But I went back and re-listened to it earlier this week. After the announcement of his death, and in listening to it in retrospect of finding out, like, he wrote this, he knew he was going to die, this is like his swan song, that man is a consummate artist, because that is just all about death and, like, coming to terms with death, and you're just like, holy shit, this, if I live my entire life, I will never create a piece of art that probably means more than this album does. It's not a great album, mind you, but it's still, like, you're just like, oh shit.
That's heavy, man.
This is really heavy. I don't know if I can deal with this. I don't have the mental capacity to deal with this album yet. I can't unpack it yet.
Well, maybe you would have that if you had the benefits of a classical education.
Page 394. Ronald Weasley.
I always
I fucking love Alan Rickman.
My Alan Rickman joke was always like, when my wife would watch Love Actually, and I'd be like, this is where Alan Rickman comes in and goes, "It was Love Actually." And like it became like a running joke, and I don't know, it, like, from years and years and years, that's just, and my buddy Doug said that my favorite Alan Rickman quote Alan Rickman never said. But yeah, Alan Rickman, great actor, not one of my favorites.
I fucking love Alan Rickman.
I know you
fucking Gruber. He's Hans the Gruber Meister.
Yeah, he's Hans Gruber. I mean, he's a classic character in fiction, like,
he was great as Snape. I was never, like, I liked the Harry Potter movies, but I don't know the books. So I assume he did a good job, because really, really like him.
Towards the end there, he looked a little pudgy as Snape, but.
And then, of course, Grabthar's hammer.
Oh my God, Galaxy Quest.
We're gonna be watching that. We're gonna be watching that this weekend, actually.
What does he say? Oh wait, hold on.
It's by Grabthar's hammer.
No. He. Hold on, just give me a second. Just give me a second.
And of course, he played the sad robot in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was a miserable movie. But I never liked the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy anyway, so I don't really know why I would have expected to like the movie.
Yeah.
But apparently, people who liked Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy didn't like that movie.
No, they didn't. So, I thought it was a decent adaptation, not great.
It
goes, "By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you." That's the line. "By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I avenge thee." I will avenge you. And then, "By Grabthar's hammer, these savings are amazing." I don't remember the exact line.
He's did a ton of stuff.
It's a great soundtrack, too. Galaxy Quest's soundtrack is a great
interesting story. I don't know if true, but supposedly the role of Leonardo in Clerks cartoon was supposed to be Alan Rickman.
I heard that.
But he was just going to be Hans Gruber. And Alan Rickman turned the role down, not because he didn't want to work with Kevin Smith again, but because he didn't want to play the same role twice. Yes.
I don't know. I could have seen it going either way. Either one would have been funny, but Alec Baldwin
annihilated it. He's the best part of that show. Like, if that rumored HBO revival ever comes back and they don't have Alec Baldwin, I'm out. How do you like my table? I built it myself. And look, I have all these extra pieces.
Is this a gay thing? No. Are you sure?
Yes. Won't you lock, stock, and barrel? He's offering us a job.
It's just rain. Fine.
Try
to kill it.
You know, if that show had come out on Cartoon Network nowadays.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Huge. It would be huge.
I don't know about nowadays. Probably like 5 or 6 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe around when Clerks 2 came out in theaters. And there was that brief revival of Kevin Smith stuff.
Maybe like around the
before
time.
Before everyone started hating him because he started making movies like Tusk.
I still don't think Tusk is a bad movie.
I'm not in. I don't like it. I think it was bad. But
you never saw it.
I did. I watched
it. Oh, you watched it?
Yeah, I watched the hand cam.
Oh, the hand cam? Oh, you watched a bootleg.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't.
That scene
It wasn't like a movie I'm going to spend $9 on to see in the theater. But I mean, I was like, it's a fine body horror comedy movie.
Yeah, I don't know. It just fell flat with me. But I really, really liked Red State.
Yeah, Red State's fantastic.
I really liked Red State. So, it's not just because, I don't like Kevin Smith as a director or I think he can't direct different movies. But, I liked Red State a lot. Did not like Tusk. But,
No, I can. I will concede. As long as you say you don't like it and you saw the movie, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't like it when you say I don't like that movie, and I'm like, well, have you seen it? You're like, no, I don't need to see it. I'm like, God damn it, Steve.
Hey man, snap calls.
That's the only thing you do with movies that drives me fucking up the wall.
Well, yeah, I know. You do it because it drives you up the wall. Yeah.
Anyway, do we have anyone else? We the mayor from Ghostbusters died, Lenny.
Really?
Yeah,
Lenny. Think of all those registered voters.
That's why I made the joke. I said, do you think the new female Ghostbusters are going to have to fight the ghost of the former mayor in the new movie?
I'm actually getting pretty excited for that movie. Looks like it's going to be good.
He can actually have a conversation with Fiorello LaGuardia now. He's been dead for 30 years.
Oh, man.
But aside from that, yeah, a lot of... It's like...
It sucks, man.
I don't know. I've come to the conclusion that as I get older, a lot more of my heroes and a lot more of the people in my pop culture.
This was just a lot of people at once.
And Lemmy. We forgot Lemmy.
Oh, yes. How could we forget Lemmy?
Yeah.
The Ace of Spades.
I like Motorhead.
I grew out of it, but I was fucking super into Motorhead.
I
loved Motorhead. I had 4 Motorhead shirts that were all the same shirt, and then I had a Motorhead jacket that I made by fucking buying different Motorhead shirts and fucking sewing it together myself with pins and fucking needles and shit. Oh man, I was super into Motorhead.
I
not anymore.
I can honestly say I was not into Motorhead. I know Motorhead. Their music's good.
Yeah.
I like that style of rock.
Well, my thing is if you're doing metal, and even if I don't like your metal, I still appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm that kind of that way. It's like they were the best at what they did.
Absolutely, nope,
and
not close.
And
Lemmy was fucking ridiculous. The fact the dude lived to 70 was impressive as shit.
Yeah, and he was. I always know about Lemmy more for his pop culture influence than anything. Like, who'd win a fight, Lemmy or God?
Trick question. Lemmy is God.
No, he goes Lemmy. No, God. No, trick question. Ass. Lemmy is God.
He was a ridiculous dude, and from what I understand,
Airheads.
he never really stopped. He just kind of always was.
No, he was a consummate rock artist. He was a consummate metalhead. Metalhead.
Just rocked and drank until he died.
Yeah,
which
British. Looked very British.
The best thing I saw was I think it was an Onion article, but it says Jack Daniel's stock plummets. It's like he bought 80% of their stock.
Well, my favorite thing is people always talk about how ugly Lemmy was, but I'm like, he just looks British to me. I don't understand what makes him uglier than most other British people.
Never really considered Lemmy to be ugly, actually.
But that's what I'm saying. He looks like, but apparently amongst British people who can delineate, he was on the uglier side.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. All right, so that's about it for this week. Go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page, GameClassyPodcast.com. No, Game Classy Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe on iTunes is the best way you can help the podcast. You can listen to us not only on Reddit on our Game Classy, but you could also listen to us on our YouTube page, Game Classy Podcast, where you could also listen to Comic Book Logic, soon coming to its own podcast feed, but currently sharing with the Planet Arbitrary Podcast, also known as Game On.
Play On.
Play On. Fuck, I always screw that up.
You blew it.
I was almost, that was a good flow. I was doing good there for a while.
You blew it. And or Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast.
Yeah, Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On.
Yes, there you go.
That's the reason why I screwed it up.
Which now has its own Facebook page.
It does have its own Facebook page. The
we have 20 likes.
Game Classy Podcast is going to be popping up. Not Game Classy Podcast. Play
Comic Book Logic.
Comic Book Logic will be is also on our YouTube page, where you could also next week we'll be popping up with Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
It's a good movie.
Watchmen. I have pleasant memories of it. I'm gonna see if it holds up. We're watching it tomorrow, so
make sure you watch the director's cut.
I am watching the director's cut.
It's much better. Especially if you can get the one that has the Black Freighter built into it.
I don't know if this has that built into it or not.
I thought it improved the movie a lot.
Well, I mean,
some people didn't. Some people thought that it was actually better that they left it out.
It's going to be interesting to rewatch it because I don't think I've seen it since it's come out in theater. So, so Steve, until next time.
Shine on, you crazy diamonds.
Game Classy.